This is Classic Grain number 16, hosted by me, Will Rogers, K5WLR. Due to some glitches with a new install of Windows 10, we missed the February 29th Leap Year Classic Grain and those for March as well. For the newcomers among you, the mid to late 1980s were a turbulent time for ham radio, especially for 220 MHz enthusiasts. In the late 80s, Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, thought it prudent to help put together a national teleconference radio net to promote the value of the 220 MHz ham band that the FCC partially reallocated to the United Parcel Service in the late 1980s. The 220 amateur band was shrunken down from 220 to 225 MHz to 222 to 225 MHz. During the warm-up to the nationwide Save 220 Hamcast, one veteran of the ham radio press expressed his perspective about the rocky road the 220 band had been down. He was the late Wayne Green, W2NSD, who founded 73 Magazine in 1960 and was publisher of it in the 80s.
The 220 band has been threatened to be lost several times. We had back 1970 around in there to get it away from us by the CB group, who wanted to take over a couple of megahertz or three for Citizens Band, for a new band, because they were so crammed on their 23 channels or whatever it was that they had at that time. Before that, there was a move to move CB into the top end of 2 meters from 146 to 48, which up until about 1969 was totally unused. It was almost impossible to make a contact anywhere in the country above 146. And CQ magazine petitioned the FCC to take 146 to 148 and make it into a CB band. A few amateurs protested, but not many. And of course, then about 1970, it turned out that that was a fantastic band for FM and repeaters. And within a year, was the most active ham band of any that we have. On that basis, I felt that we ought to protect our bands, even if they weren't being used, because we never knew when a new technology would come along. We would desperately need them and indeed not be able to promote the new technology without them. And we do have a number of new technologies ahead, which could make very good use of our microwave bands if we have them. But at any rate, getting along, we did fight a battle over 220, and the forces organized against amateur radio were not that strong at that time, so it kind of blew away. But we have used 220 so seldom, so little in the interim. There has not been any concentrated effort to use it. Opening it up for novices turned out to be a pipe dream. The novices have ignored it and not been interested. I have not heard from any manufacturer that there were significant sales of 220 gear as a result of opening 220 to the novices. I wanted to, and I petitioned the FCC back around 1969, to open a 3 megahertz band for no code for novices from the middle 3 megahertz of 220 and make it so that they would be able to use repeaters and get some experience with them at that time. But the ARL organized a fight against that, and that got killed. With the current use of 220, I don't really see where amateur radio has a leg to stand on in trying to hold the band. We are using it so little and so little benefit. For that matter, amateur radio has provided virtually no benefits to America for the use of billions and billions of dollars worth of frequencies. We have a bunch of old-timers that are steadfastly doing everything in their power to keep us from growing, and with the result that amateur radio has not grown. Only if you look at the FCC figures and ignore the fact that amateurs are dying do we get even a hint of a small growth. In their answer to the 220 situation here, they said that amateur radio had grown at 1% a year for the last 5 years. Well, it's a lot less than that once you take out the dead wood. And indeed, we have seen from the figures released by the FCC that amateur radio growth dropped 19% in the last year. It dropped 15% in the year before and 10% each in the 2 years before that. And that's 54% in just 4 years that the growth of amateur radio has wound down. With a dying hobby, with fewer and fewer amateurs providing any public service, with us not inventing or pioneering new technologies, indeed falling further and further behind commercial and professional technologies, I don't see where we have a leg to stand on in demanding frequencies and keeping them away from good, legitimate commercial uses. We have a deplorable record for the last 25 years. Before that, amateurs were always in the forefront. They were the first ones to come up with single sideband. They invented it, they pioneered it, and brought it to commercial use and to military use. They invented and pioneered narrowband FM with W2GDG coming out with it, made that into a commercial success. And most of the radio teletype circuits that were used up until the last 25 years were all developed by radio amateurs. And on it went. But since incentive licensing in 1963 and the total crash of our amateur radio industry in 64 and 65 that resulted from that, and the lack of growth that we've had since then, which has been less than 1% a year, really, for the last 25 years, we have provided very little in return for the enormous amount of frequencies that we have. And unfortunately, about 90% of them, or 95%, are totally unused. We have the 2300 megahertz band, which is unused, 3300 megahertz. We have the 10 gigahertz band, which is a fantastic band. And I believe that everything that is on 450 probably should be moved up to 10 gigahertz, where you would have less crowding and less fighting, and you'd have room for 10 times the number of repeaters, remote base controls, and so forth up there. And at least we'd have some activity on the band. We recently lost 30% of our 1200 megahertz band through inactivity. And I think that that would be a wonderful band to put our ATV experimenting on, get it off 450, which is much too narrow for that, and so forth. But none of these things are happening. We're probably spending 90% of our time fighting each other and arguing and resisting progress and making it miserable for newcomers, and 10% in trying to do anything progressive. And that's my viewpoint on it, Hap.
I must remind you that the comments you just heard from the late Wayne Green, W2NSD, were voiced in the introduction to a Save 220 National Teleconference Radio Net in 1988. It was introduced by RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, to promote interest in the 220 band in the late 80s, several years before the RAIN report came to fruition. Editorial note: while activity in the 220 amateur band has grown significantly over the last 30 years in major markets, i.e. Chicago, New York, Southern California, and the like, just spend time outside these populous areas and you'll see how sparse 220 activity still is away from your major cities. The Classic RAIN episodes are updated bi-weekly on therainreport.com and may be transmitted on amateur radio. Once these episodes are uploaded to the Classic RAIN archive on therainreport.com, they'll remain on the opening screen until the next upload, Classic RAIN 17, scheduled to be posted April 17th. The RAIN Report is copyright 1988-2020 RAIN. All rights reserved. For Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming!